Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Greetings, fellow travelers across the galaxy. I am Kelsey.
I am Caitlin.
And this is Rebels Remembered. And today we're discussing the Season 2, Episode 11 episode called Legacy. Legacy originally aired on December 9th, 2015. I think that that's important because this is when they took a hiatus, I believe, after this. Mm-hmm. And they take a break in, like, sort of break the season apart to, I guess, give people time to do holiday things.
Yeah, I guess.
And then come back in January with, I believe it's Princess Leia's episode after this. But also, I think this is, a week before Force Awakens officially...
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Premiered, which is, it's weird to think about, like, I know what people think about the sequel trilogy and all that, but it's weird to think about of a time where it wasn't...
Even started,
which is, I don't know, it's interesting to think about. But, for this episode, the plot for Legacy is, as the Empire attacks the Rebels, Ezra is drawn to information about his parents and their fate. Written by Henry Gilroy, who I think is a pretty great writer on this series. And he's a good writer in general. And this was directed by Mel Zweier. And he also directed a couple episodes of Star Wars Rebels, including Legacy, The Call, Forgotten Droid, Hera's Heroes, Ghost of Geonosis, and The Legacy of Mandalore. So all of these episodes, I believe, are in Season 2 and 3.
3, yeah.
So this is, like, I think his first... The first time that he's directed Rebels, mm-hmm. I guess.
I think
this
so.
This episode.
Alright, so before we get into the trivia, I just have to explain my bias. To me, this is one of the best episodes of the season. But again, I'm biased. Obviously, because Ezra is my favorite character, but also some of the themes we get into in this episode are very... near and dear to me. I'm just going to start there.
Yeah, yeah.
So the trivia for this one, I actually remember this one. So this episode was known during and after production as The Secret of Prisoner X-10. That was the name of the episode. Now, if you're a geek like me...
I was about to say, you're that nerd.
You're that nerd who was paying attention to the episode guide of what was coming next. And there was no synopsis. It just said The Secret of Prisoner X-10. I remember seeing that. It wasn't changed until September 2015. They changed it to Legacy. Ezra's vision shows Capital City in an idolized state prior to its, quote, modernization by the Empire. So we get to see what Lothal looked like before crap hit the fan.
Yeah, I think that's... And it goes back to some things that we already see in Season 1 and some things that we'll get into in Season 3 and 4 with Lothal specifically, is seeing it become... not modernized, but just industrialized, and the effects of industrialization on the environment specifically.
Okay, so we start this episode with Ezra asleep on the Ghost. Voices call to him in his sleep. They sound like his mother and father, and they lead him to a white Lothcat. It hisses, and he sees his parents, himself wielding a lightsaber, TIE fighters, and a mysterious figure. And all this is like... flashing by really fast. So it's bits of... And let me just go off of that. In A Vision of Hope, we've already seen...
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
A similar vision of flashes of stuff that eventually happened. So I think for me as a viewer, I was like, okay, this is... He's seeing something that's going to happen in the future. I got that part.
Yeah, I understood it was a Force vision because it had that little sort of... sharp visionette around it as well, mm-hmm. which to me indicated, because I had seen that before with Vision of Hope, that this was a Force vision. I didn't think it was just like a random dream he was having.
Right, right. Shaken by his vision, he believes his parents are alive and he must find them. And this is when we get more information on way back in Season 1 mm-hmm. when Zeebo revealed to Hera information about them. He told her that they were in being held in Imperial prison, but he didn't know which one particularly. And I think it's said here that there are more than 1,000 prisons.
Which, for the Empire, that we know how the Empire works, to me it was still pretty shocking to see, like, later, of course, I'm going getting ahead of myself, when they bring Ezra into that little room where he's got all the planets and stuff,
yeah.
like, how many prisons there are where they've got people that... like, be honest, like, Nazi days, like, you didn't go along with the narrative, like, you were seen as the enemy, and the enemies go to, well, they were concentration camps, mm-hmm. but, like, you know, prisons, something that's very common in totalitarian yeah. regimes, but still, like, for me, seeing all those planets, it was very, like, it's one thing to say a number, but when you visually see a representation yeah. of it, it's like, whoa, that is a lot of prisons.
But it is kind of nice that we also get this reveal that they've been trying to find them for him, which is nice to hear from Hera and Kanan.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we go to Kallus, and we're kind of pulling back on the Inquisitors found out that their base is on Garel. Also need to pull back here for a second. Before Ezra comes to Hera and Kanan with his vision, you know, that he just woke up from, they're discussing another base. And this trying to find a base is pretty much throughout the rest of the season, trying to find a base that they can hide at and not be captured by the Empire or none of that. So, like, that's pretty heavy theme throughout the rest of the season. So, you know, apparently they've told Kallus their theories or whatever. But I can't remember his name. The other Imperial there is like, nah, this is just a bunch of baloney. And it goes, it's that conflict again between results and the Force.
But also for me, I didn't really understand. Like, I would understand it more if, like, I sent something and I can't give you physical proof. But there was a freaking probe droid that recorded Ezra saying it.
Yeah.
So,
That's true.
For them to say, no, we don't, you know, you mystics. I'm like, there's proof.
Proof, that this is the base. He said it. And Kallus is the one that actually confirms it, and he says that they've been hiding, their fleet in spaceports, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they decide to deploy the entire fleet for Garel. Back on the Ghost, Kanan and Hera reveal is to prisoners held at one time by the Empire. This part was kind of odd, Kanan tells Ezra to reach out with the Force and try to find who they're looking for, I guess? But it's also revealed that, there was a massive breakout last night.
At one of the prisons?
Prisons. Which kind of lines up to why I think Ezra had the vision that he had. Because if you go back and look at that vision, he's in a holding cell. Where yeah. his parents were.
You see his parents in the holding cell.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it is kind of odd that out of these thousands of prisons, there was only one breakout out of one of them, but...
True. Yeah.
But I think it's just, you know, for convenience sake. But also the fact that, you know, Ezra had the same question I did. He's like, why didn't you tell me that you had this information? But I think Kanan was like, well, there was nothing to tell because it was almost like...
They didn't want to get his hopes up
for them just to come up empty-handed. Yeah.
So he reaches out to the Force and he starts seeing these flashes, his parents, the figure he's been seeing, and the Loath Cat again. He tells Hera to stop scrolling through the list, and she lands on Prisoner X-10, which is why originally this episode was called,
The Secret of X-10.
Yeah, The Secret of Prisoner X-10.
So, when you watched it, when you heard the name X-10 being brought up, did you, that's what this episode used to be called? Like,
yeah,
did that ring any bells for you?
I think so. I was like, wait. You know, because like I said, it didn't give a synopsis. I just remember seeing the title.
But also, I think it probably confirmed to you that, oh, he knows something about his parents.
Yep. Yeah, it did. So this prisoner was arrested on Lothal for treason. And it's interesting, I mean, we're going to spoil it now, that it's Ryder Azadi, who was the governor.
Mm-hmm.
The governor of Lothal was arrested for treason.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it shouldn't be that surprising because it is the Empire. Yeah. So they're going to go out no matter what your rank is.
Like, at least be like Alderaan and pretend you're on a diplomatic mission to hide your stuff. But, yeah, I guess he was just too outspoken as him supporting the Bridgers, his parents' broadcast and stuff like that.
So Ezra decides that he must return home to Lothal to help his parents. So, again, Lothal, they escaped in the very beginning of the season.
Because they were blamed for Minister Tua's death.
And now it's like, okay, we're gonna go back. I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I would, you know?
Yeah.
So Ezra starts looking for his helmet so he can leave. He's kind of getting frustrated here. When he's like, where's my stupid helmet? And, like, trying to find it.
Yeah, the one time you can't find your helmet.
And of course, Kanan enters and he says he doesn't have to go alone. And then Hera says that they're family. It's just a little sweet moment.
Yeah, I got kind of teary eyed. I don't know why. Because it was just like seeing them be so supportive of him. You know, I don't know why it didn't surprise me. It just kind of like tugged on my heartstrings a little bit.
Well, also, even knowing, like I just mentioned, Lethal, they're willing to go help him.
I do think it's interesting that Sabine is the first one to realize.
Yeah.
That the Empire is coming to their direction, because I think she says something like they pulled back all their patrols and they only do that for military sense of there's about to be a major strike and we don't want to cause any unnecessary losses. I don't know why the Empire would care about that, but, you know, we've got to have those numbers, which I think, again, calls back to some of that Imperial Academy knowledge that we've already touched about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, even as a viewer, we know they're coming. We've already established.
Yeah, we know what they don't.
Right. So then we have this moment where we have, for some reason, Zeb and Chopper were out getting supplies or something.
That is kind of weird, because this whole beginning, I'm like, where are Zeb and Chopper at? And then it's like, oh, they're out getting supplies. Yeah, but for the beginning, I was like, you used to mention family, but where's the rest of the fam?
Yeah. And I think that, don't they tell him, like, they're gonna head to the Lothal, and he's like, this doesn't sound like a very good idea. Like, and then there's this part where it's Kanan, Ezra, and Zeb. I met up with Zeb. And they're, like, in this hangar or whatever, and so the troopers are gathered around them, and they kind of start getting them pinned. Like, you have the trooper shooting at them on this side, then you have Callus and all them shooting at them on the other side. And Ezra just goes for it, which I understand, because this is an important moment for him. He truly believes that, you know, this is like something he's been dreaming about probably since his parents left or were taken. And you're in the way. Just saying. So I get why he's acting, what's the word, impulsively here, because of the emotions, I think, that are driving him. And he, like, jumps in the air and, like, does like a little
flip
or something, deflects the blasters and everything, and then he force pushes Callus against a wall, and then the Inquisitors show up and Ezra just charges at them. Which is not smart.
No, it's not.
At all. And luckily, Kanan's there to shoot the blast door to close it, because let's be honest, I don't think he would have survived that.
No, they probably would. I mean, Ezra's come very far from where we've seen him in season one, but he's still, I don't think, the same caliber with one Inquisitor, let alone two of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that just seemed like a suicide, a death wish that he had. but yeah, I like how Kanan blasts the door. I always like that part. It's really cool. I'm more of a blaster person.
I know.
We've been over this.
And he has this kind of clash with Kanan where he's like, I know, like, and I get it. Like, I understand. But you need to calm down. Yeah, take a chill pill. And then we have this sad moment where Ezra's like, no, you don't.
Which I think anyone experiencing grief and, you know, anything of that nature where, you know, you truly feel like, I appreciate that you're being so supportive of me, but at the same time, you don't understand how it feels to experience this thing. But I think Kanan is very, you know, Kanan could have just blew up in his face and said, what are you talking about? You know?
Yeah.
But he's very calm and, you know, says, you're right. I never knew my parents, because he was a Padawan. Padawans were, when they were discovered, they were force sensitive. They were removed from their, sometimes given up, you know, like little Annie, who was a slave, you know, better life to be in the temple.
Right.
So yeah, the fact that Kanan is, again, very calm and doesn't respond, but he could respond back with the same kind of energy that Ezra has, as like the little teenager that he is, which I think helps diffuse the situation a little bit.
Oh yeah. We have this interesting shot where we cut to, Sato and Rex, and you know they're now aware that we gotta get out of here. But it's interesting that way. It's kind of more confirmation that Rex is, it's establishing Rex hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah, he's still hanging around. But also the fact that he's with Sato in the command ship, I think says a lot about them recognizing his experience and his Rexness, I'm gonna say. I don't know. But yeah, the fact that he's actually on the freaking command ship, yeah, says a lot.
But Admiral Constantine, that's his name, yeah. He dispatches Tyes to combat them and orders his men to target the command ship again. They're always going to go after the command ship. It's just strategy and military tactics. So their ship gets caught in the tractor beam. Again, poor Sato.
Yeah, Sato's again stuck in a tractor beam. I will say the fact that you've got Hera, and, you know, I think Zeb's on the gunner and firing, and they're like doing all these cool maneuvers. And then it has literally Kanan and Ezra in the Phantom detaching, and Chopper with him. Detaching mid kind of flight is pretty. I always like the animation of that because it looks like a POV kind of shot.
Oh, yeah.
It has Kanan like flying the Phantom. I thought that was really cool animation wise.
And Hera tells them to command that they head to Lothal and she'll stay with the fleet. And it has this really sweet moment, which I kind of got emotional here, where she tells Ezra, I hope you find what you're looking for. It's almost like, I don't want to say it's like goodbye, but in a way it kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hope you get the answers you're seeking. I hope that you find your parents and they'll take care of you. But yeah, it's almost, she is kind of sad a little bit about it, I feel like.
Yeah, but also, you know, it's one of those things where we know this is a pivotal moment for Ezra. But it's like, because we're in the midst of battle, our command ship is targeting. It's like where do I go? And I think for her, it's like, well, I think she doesn't want to stay with the fleet, but she knows that's where she's most needed in the moment.
Yeah.
But I think a part of her is sort of sad that she can't be there for Ezra when he's going through all of that stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so Sato's caught in the tractor beam.
Sabine has his plan where they were going to use, torpedoes to fire at the tractor beam. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if she just lost.
They were being shot at when she was trying to get a good aim on it.
We have this cute little, I don't got it. And then Harris is like, I got it. And she just rams the thing to knock it off.
And poor Zeb is still in the gunner.
Yeah, when she does this. Yeah.
Knocks it straight off.
I mean, it got the job done, but.
Yeah, got him free, but dang.
Yeah, so they free the command ship, and then everyone just, as always, jumps to light speed to get away from the Imperials around Gorel.
So Ezra and Kanan, they land on Lothal, and then Ezra has this moment where he tells Kanan, thank you. And you're always there for me when I need you. Which is almost like, and I'm going to ask you this question. Did you think his parents were alive at this point?
Oh, goodness.
When you first watched it. Because to him, what he said to Hera, and what he said to Kanan, or what Hera said to him, and what he's telling Kanan here, it's almost like Ezra has made up his mind that they're alive.
And if they're alive, I'm going to stay with them. Yeah. With the way Vision of Hope did not go well for him, and his Force Vision was, it wasn't wrong, it's just he misread it. So I think the same thing's going on here. He thinks that because he saw his parents, that they're alive. But for me watching it, I was just like, I mean, I don't see it because I know that we're on episode 11 of a 22-episode season, and I can't see his parents being alive and him doing the similar training and all of that. I don't know how the story would have shifted had they been alive.
I thought, so when the season 2 trailer of this first premiered, and it had Ezra's, that moment where I saw my parents, you actually saw them in the trailer. I, in my gut, in my heart, thought, they're alive! They're there! They're somewhere! But when this episode first started and I realized it was a vision, I was like, this might not be.
Yeah. I was saying when they were in the trailer, I was like, oh my gosh, they're alive. But then I was like, well, how's it going to affect the story?
Yeah.
And maybe they're alive, but not very long. You know, maybe he sees, like, I was thinking worse to worse. Like, he actually sees them get killed, which is worse, you know, I think. But yeah, once, I don't know. There's a lot of foreshadowing in this episode, especially when he talks to Kanan and Kanan says, "I know what it's like to lose someone close, and have no one." So I think he's referring to his master that passed away, because the dang Order 66 and all that. And then he literally says, I don't want you to be alone. Now, he could have just stopped, the line could have stopped there, but then he says, regardless of how this turns out. And I feel like there's just a lot of signs that pointing to they weren't alive. And if they were alive, they weren't going to be lived for very long.
Yeah, and also Ezra is very, he's a kid, and he's very impulsive when it comes to this thing. Even Vision of Hope was kind of about his parents, and mm-hmm. he jumped the gun.
Yeah.
I feel like he jumped the gun here, too, but it was different because he actually physically saw them. So it was even more of a, they're alive type of thing.
Even Kanan in Vision of Hope, remember, he said, your emotions have clouded the vision. Mm-hmm. The same thing's happening here. He thinks because he saw them, they're alive.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll get into it later, but, you know, I still wonder, like, what was he seeing? Was he seeing them during the escape? Was he seeing them when they were arrested?
It makes me wonder, like, his vision, if, like I said in the beginning, it's a prison cell and they're there. And he just happened to have it when they died? Let's just put it out there.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
That he would feel that through the Force.
Okay.
That makes it even more sadder, I think. So, they're on Lothal, and they find his old home, but it's been burned down. Which, I think it blew up in Siege of Lothal. I think they blew it up or something. With, like...
Yeah, and he turned around and says, I guess there is no going home. Looks like they were doing some burning then, so...
Yeah, so...
This is even more trash, seems like, than it was when they left.
And then he sees the White Lothcat from his vision, and he chases it through the Lothal streets... and then Kanan's like, oh, we're chasing cats now. Okay, you know, might as well go with it. And then Ezra, he loses it, but he managed to put a tracker on it. And
that little moment with Kanan is like, you grow really powerful, you can track that. He's like, I put a tracker on it. It's like, oh, yeah, of course you did. Which I think, again, adds levity to a very emotional episode.
I think so, too, yeah. And of course, it hops on the little bike of this unknown figure, which is Ryder. And you made a point, the cat belongs to him?
Yeah.
Or...
I was like, we've seen Lothcats before, but I'm like, oh my gosh, can they be pets? Is that his pet? Was it waiting for him?
Waiting for him to get out.
To get back home. Because he doesn't like shoo it off the bike. He just takes off with it. It's like, eh. Got this little cat chilling on my bike. Who cares?
So they follow the signal, and it's in the outskirts of Lothal, but they come under fire from the unseen attacker, which is obviously revealed to be Ryder. And of course, Ezra's the one that takes the step and reveals that, I think he knew my parents, and we actually get their names, Ephraim and Mira Bridger.
Mm-hmm.
So he reveals that he was the former governor of Lothal. He was tried for treason when he stood against the Empire with Ezra's parents. And he knows what happens to them. And I remember watching this the first time when Ezra says, they're dead, aren't they? And it was like,
you're holding your breath,
hoping. I think deep down, I think we were all like Ezra at this point, like you're hoping with all your might that they're alive.
And within a second, it's just dashed.
It's gone.
When he's like, yeah, I'm sorry, Sin. They are. Like, pause, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because they teased us. Because, like, I'm sorry, Son could be. No, they're still in prison. No, they're injured. Like, you have to pause after that. I'm like, I'm sorry, Son. Pause. They are. They're dead? Oh, my God. Okay. Why'd you have to pause? But,
And then he has to reveal, the most heartbreaking part of this episode when he reveals that they heard his broadcast.
Which, I was a mess. Once it got to this part with Ryder talking about his parents, I was just like, I'm over here sobbing, and I'm dead, and it's over.
And they knew it was him, and that's what inspired them to break out.
Mm-hmm.
I think at some point they were going to try to break out.
Yeah. I think gave them extra push.
Hearing their son is like, it's over, we're getting out.
That could be motivation for them, too. Like, right? Like, yes, we need to stand up to tyranny and all that, but we need to get out and see our son because he's alive and he needs us, kind of thing. But also, like, Taylor Gray's delivery and performance in this episode, just so heartbreaking when, oh my god, trying to get emotional about it, when he explains, like, they heard your voice, and then he was like, how do they know it was me? And his voice cracks, and it breaks, and he's like, because of your words. Like, not the sound of your voice, like, maybe it was the sound of your voice, like, when he says your words, like, passing on the torch from what you learned as a kid, seeing them broadcast, and I'm like, oh my god, like, I can't, but,
it's almost like, you said words that your parents would have said.
Dead. Yeah.
Without realizing it. And then we have this little sad little moment where he breaks down and he hugs Kanan, but oh my gosh, Chopper.
I know.
His little mechanical arm pats him. Like, Chopper has a heart, guys. He does. He really does.
But also the fact that his parents sacrificed themselves so other people could get out, I think says a lot about them as well.
Yeah, he also mentioned that it wasn't like them to leave until everyone was out, which to me mirrors Ezra later on, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think definitely, like I said, it could have started out as we need to get out to your son. It's like, oh, no, we need to stay behind, make sure everyone is okay and everyone gets out. Which mirrors, you know, Ezra's journey from how he was originally found to how he sort of, maybe not remembers, but comes to the same sort of ideologies his parents share about sacrifice for the greater good, which is a Jedi thing as well. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, he also has that legacy. Ding ding! Segue has that legacy from his parents too.
Yeah.
And he has that little moment where he says, if we don't stand up and fight, who will? You know, which is really sweet.
Mm-hmm. Then we get to, which I, at this point, guys, we really watched this episode. At this point, I am a mess. She's a mess.
I can't see the screen at this point.
And I always get emotional at this. I'm trying not to cry. We may have to cut this out. I try not to get emotional at this episode when I watch it. But for me, because we've experienced some loss recently, it had more weight.
Yeah.
And affected me more. And I'm trying not to cry about it. But to me, this was probably the most beautiful moment of the entire series. People can try to correct me on that, but they will lose. I'm sorry. This scene, when it cuts to him staring at the fall moons.
Yeah.
And he has that. And the music by Kevin Kiner.
Oh my gosh. It's so gorgeous.
It's beautiful. And it's sad and it's somber, but there's also a feeling of hope behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that, his vision that we talked about at the beginning, where he sees the capital city and then he just hears his parents.
Which, beautifully, by the way, done by Dee Bradley Baker, who voices Ephraim, and Kat Susie, who voices Mira. Mm-hmm. Is her name? Yeah. Mira, like, they get very good performances vocally from them as well. But yeah, you get to see Capital City. And at this point, I didn't know what I was seeing. I didn't know if this was the future.
Well, you kind of knew it was the past when he says, it's beautiful, isn't it? That's going to change.
When the Empire... Yeah. So then I'm like, okay, Ezra's probably five or six, because he's seven when they're taken away. So yeah, I think that was the sort of the hint that we got, that all that's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I was sort of like, I was torn between understanding whether it was the past or the future, or if it was both of them combining together.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have that cute little moment of them standing beside him. You know, I think this, we're looking at it from past perspective, this is a memory that he had. And just seeing, like, Capital City itself, without the smog, I think there's like a lake of some kind, like, across the way from the tower. We have that beautiful line that Mira, who delivered by Kat Susie, remember Ezra, without hope, we have nothing. And they just fade. And, like, I'm gone now talking about it. Like, I don't know. And then we have this cute, again, amazing moment, amazing music with Kevin and the animation, the lighting. Mm-hmm. It's all beautifully done. And then we get this Kanan joining Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
And, gosh, my nose is running out.
Telling him that...
Yeah.
The sad thing is, Ezra goes, he says...
I saw my parents.
They were right here.
They were right here with me. And he says, the Jedi teach that life does not cease after death, but merely changes form in the Force. Mm-hmm. And then, oh my god. And then he says, his parents will always be alive within him. Always. Cue music sting. It's so beautiful and it's so sad. We're crying now. And it's just sad, man.
But going back to the whole line, because to me that's just this. That's a, to me that is an encapsulation of everything in Star Wars. So hope is in times of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Is all we have.
Yeah.
So, like a new hope.
Mm-hmm.
Hope is mentioned, you know, in the title. Obi-Wan says it, a new hope will emerge. So hope in the darkest times is all we can cling to.
And but also, of course, like, also understanding that these aren't Force ghosts.
No.
This is not him communicating. This is, like, a memory of him, like, through the Force of having this, still have this connection to his parents. Even though they're not standing there. Physically.
And we've already proven through this episode when Kanan says they're alive in you. They've already passed the torch.
Yep.
From what you said. And how you're growing as a person and how you're, treating people now.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All of those characteristics are from them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not gone. They're in you. Mm-hmm. Like, he lives in you. Like, don't go to the Lion King thing. But, yeah. I mean, it's true. And I think that's true in Lost, too. Like, so many people. I'm trying to get emotional here. But
we're already crying, so
we're over. It just took me out. So many people that I've seen on Twitter and on social media that have gone through a loss. Star Wars is something that helped them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it is kind of a religious thing, I will say, because the Force is, as Mark Hamill would say, religion's greatest hits.
Yeah.
But I do think it is sort of a religious kind of spiritual, I don't want to say process, but like, what is the word I'm thinking of? Not guidance, but just a spiritual, like, assurance that you still have that connection to them, even though they're not physically on this plane. Now, whatever that looks like for you, if they go up to a heaven, if you believe in heaven or not, but I think people that experience loss, most people, I would say, like, they need that reassurance, because otherwise, what is there? You're left with, they're not here.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think Ezra needs that moment to not just only move on from...
To grieve. And
but to grieve and not wallow in,
yeah,
in it.
I think so, too.
And stay in that place. Now, we're going to see in Prince of Thaw, he's still kind of in that grieving process, which is a process. And you can go forwards and backwards and all kinds of crazy stuff can happen with grief, but I think he specifically needed that moment to just kind of move forward. I saw an interview with Terry Irwin, Steve Irwin's wife, and she says, you don't really move forward, it walks with you. It walks beside you, but you don't carry it,
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's a really good thing about grief. Like, that is so true.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to stay and wallow in it. You
probably, there's some people that do.
I mean, you probably will in the first couple of years of your loss, but after that, it's just kind of, it's not as heavy.
Yeah.
What did you rate this episode?
I mean, with us crying, I'm going to go with a 10, but I'm so biased, y'all. Yeah, so, like, what is it? It's 2024. We lost our mother in 2023. Lost her grandmother in 2022, so those are still very fresh, and still in the grieving process. So, yeah, watching it now versus watching it 10 years ago is totally
different. Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, I still cried a little bit. I got teary.
Yeah.
But the other night we were rewatching this episode, I was a mess.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's okay to feel. It's okay to feel like a cartoon made me cry. It's fine. It's just how you feel, you know? Yeah. I give it a 9. You I want to go 9? 10 so bad.
I give it a 10 because we're sitting here crying about it. So.